Greet each of you in Jesus' worthy name this morning. I was very impressed with the leading of the Spirit. As I listened to the songs, listened to the devotional, and knew what God had laid on my heart to share this morning. The third song we sang says this: "Since Christ my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me. And mid our sorrows and its woe, 'tis heaven my Jesus here to know. Oh, hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven to know my sins forgiven. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there." And then the reading that Brother Luke shared with us in the devotional. The challenge: who are we going to be serving? Are we going to be as one of the Hebrew servants, one of the servants of God? Are we going to be a bondman? It's our choice this morning. It's our choice this morning. My message title this morning is "Chained To?" Question mark. Chained To. And the burden behind the message, a lot of the inspiration from the message came from the song "Chained to the Chariot" on the one side of the sheets that was passed out earlier. The song, I'm just going to read it. The song gives a story, and then we're going to look at the possible background of the story. The generals of Rome, when waging a war in triumph, would capture the foe, and chaining them fast would drag them behind the general's chariot and go triumphantly through the city of Rome as incense was burned in the street. A battle was won, celebration was made as prisoners were led in defeat. Verse 2, "I stumbled along in shackles of sin, no freedom nor happiness mine. The good that I wanted so badly to do, the power I never could find. But actions I hated, abhorred and despised, I found myself doing with ease. The body of death bore me down with its weight. I struggled in vain to be freed." In the chorus, "I was waging a war against Jesus my Lord, chained to the chariot of sin. He triumphed at last, I've surrendered my will. Now I'm chained to the chariot with him." Verse 3, "Now thanks be to God, to triumph he's turned my bondage to service so free. I gladly accept on my shoulders to bear his yoke truly fitted for me. Sinner, why don't you join in procession with us? Accept the constraints of Christ's love. The chains are not bondage, just proof that he's near to lead us to heaven above." Amen. And I was meditating on that song and really touched by it. I feel like I need to make a confession right up front of the message so the Spirit can do its work. As I look at my last week, I would say I was chained to the bondage of materialism. Work had me absorbed. Things like houses had me absorbed. And the chain to my Lord was loosened. And I've asked his forgiveness for that. And I trust he can use me this morning to present the message of chains taken off and a choice to chain ourselves to him. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 17. The setting of this song is very likely the inspiration behind these verses. Paul doesn't tell us exactly where he got it from, but I'm going to read the verses. I think we'll see some similarities here. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You look at those verses, and you come back to the picture painted by the song. Prisoners being dragged in to enemy territory in chains. People in the streets, citizens, in this case of Rome, rejoicing and burning incense. To those men in the chariots, and to those people on the streets burning that incense, that was a savor of life. They defeated their foe. They're not worried about their foe anymore. But to those people in the chains behind, that was a savor of death. The very smell of that was a death sentence. And today, there's a big parallel there to our spiritual lives. Verse 14 says, "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." I want to stop just very briefly and look at the idea of chains. I think the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about chains is captivity. I might chain my dog so he doesn't run away. If a police comes and puts handcuffs on you, puts chains on you, it's so you don't escape. And I think that's oftentimes our first thought when we come to chains. But there are other uses for chains. See a couple of excavators in our audience. And I would imagine you're very acquainted with putting a chain on a piece of equipment after you put it on a trailer. Why? Is it because you're expecting that piece to run away? No, it's to secure it. It's to give you the security that everything is going to be right like it belongs when you arrive at your destination. Chains can be security. The other mental picture I got was somebody that's rappelling, they're rock climbing. They have their rope anchored above them. And as they pull themselves up, they'll undo one clasp and rehook it, undo another one and rehook it. They keep themselves chained to that rope the entire time for security, to make sure their progress is upward and never downward. So chains can be for security. And as I was looking at references to chains in the Bible, there was another one that came up frequently. That is chains of decoration. Chains can be beautiful things. They don't have to send the message that a chain of captivity does. They can be something beautiful. And as I look at verse 14, drawing back to that, "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." The guarantee of triumph is what kind of a chain? It's a chain of security, right? If we have that chain of security between us and Christ, or the other way I like to paint it, is our hand hanging onto Christ's hand, we will triumph. We will triumph. Verse 15, "As we wage a war with Christ." there is a sweet savor, a sweet smell to those who are saved. Yes, it's a war. It's a battle. But we know the outcome because we know who we are attached to. We know how it's all going to work out. We know it's going to work out. Verse 16 says that to those who are not prepared, who are not attached to Christ, there is a savor of death. All they know to do is give their best effort, but they feel defeat right from the beginning because of who they're fighting against. Verse 17 sums it nicely. You know, as we look at putting this into practical shoe leather, and we're going to touch on this a little more. It says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. How do we corrupt the word of God? To profess Jesus and to chain ourselves to something else. But as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. It's sincere if we've given that surrender, if we've chained ourselves to Him, if we're hanging on to Him. Turn with me now to Luke 8, 26 to 40. And we want to look at a story in the life of a man where this all played out in very practical ways. Luke 8. Verses 26 to 40. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. This is Jesus and his disciples. They had just sailed across the Sea of Galilee, I believe it was. As they land on the other side, they are in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, that's Jesus, went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils, long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, I beg thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, The people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Okay, in the beginning of this story, we see a man. And we see bondage. Who was he chained to? I'd like to have your response. The devil, that's right. It says right here, many devils inhabited him. It says they called themselves legion because they were many. For those of you who are taking notes, I titled this section here, Chains of Captivity. He was bound to the devil. Furthermore, there were many times he was physically bound with chains of captivity. And we see those were always short-lived. But his spirit was bound, and many times his flesh was bound as people tried to control him, tried to make him behave, so to speak, tried to keep him from doing damage. What effect did those chains to the devil have on him? What do you observe? What effects did those chains to the devil have on him? Yes. He was crazy. It affected the way he acted. Very definitely. What other effect did it have on him? I guess the crazy man could sum it all up. David.
he was rebellious to the things of God and man. He was trouble to everyone. Mm-hmm. Even himself.
That's right.
You realize that he was full of devils. Mm-hmm. He got tested that way somehow. It wasn't of his own doing, mm-hmm. Pretty much. So, I'd say it was of his own doing, pretty much. And, without Jesus, he had no hope.
Yeah.
Those devils, how he got them, made him that way to be a troublemaker to himself, to others. Mm-hmm. And that's a bad situation.
That's right. The bondage brought trouble. Trouble to him, trouble to everybody around him, trouble to anybody he came in contact with. It drove his appearance. Many times we like to argue the concept of importance of what we wear. And I think sometimes maybe we do put an overemphasis on that. But fact of the matter is, our appearance speaks of who we are chained to. Am I chained in surrender to God? Appearance will show that. Am I chained to bondage of the devil? Appearance will show that. One of the man's problems was living on the streets. It says he abode in the tombs. I think that probably would have been the equivalent of living under the bridge today. He just lived on the streets. He couldn't relate to the people in the city. They would cast him out. He would make problems for them. Okay. He was in bondage to society. Society had no appreciation for him. Society was pushing him out. Now, we're going to look very briefly at the battle. And it's very brief, because the battle is brief. When somebody comes and surrenders their will to God, the battle no longer lives on. The battle's already won. We see Jesus coming to him. And one of the first things we have recorded here is the devils just crying out against him and saying, "What do we have to do with you?" In essence, get away from here. We don't want you. And then it comments, this response came because Jesus had already commanded them to come out. And so here we have the battle. They're saying, but we don't want to. Get out of here. But at the same time, they're saying, we know who you are. And we don't want anything to do with you. They made one request, which Jesus granted. And the request itself already tells you they knew they lost the battle. They said, can we go out into the hogs? And Jesus said, go. In the battle for that man, the battle of freeing of the chains of bondage, were over. We're over. It says, immediately after this, the devils went out of the man, the hogs were choked. And when people came to see what was done, they found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Isn't that a pretty picture? Of what can happen when we surrender our will to God. In essence, Jesus is there saying, I will cut that chain of bondage for you. I will give you that chain into your hands. What did this man do with that chain? That's the next thing we want to look at. I want to look at chains of security. Jesus was begged to leave the place because people feared his power. And the man said, here, I want to go with you. I just get the mental picture of him handing that chain over to Jesus, saying, I'm with you. Jesus denied the request to physically go with him. But it's pretty clear as we look at the story that the man in heart went with Jesus. Amen. Freedom from bondage and surrendering his will made him choose to go out in service and obedience to Jesus. Jesus told him here in verse 38, and 39. Jesus told him, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And the man's response to him, it was a small service. He went and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him.
Amen.
Was there something that surrender drove the man to do? Yes, there was. There was. Was it a bed of roses? I doubt it. I really doubt it. Working for Jesus generally is not a bed of roses. Did he do it with joy? Yes. I think from what we see here, his testimony, I believe he did it with joy. Did that chain of surrender that he gave to Jesus feel like bondage? No, it didn't. It felt like security. It felt like empowerment. It felt like his lifeline to a free life. That's a real paradox. But to him, that chain was a lifeline to a free life. When you look at the man over here, living at home, spending his days going about and telling others about Jesus, versus living over here, living on the streets, living as a crazy man, living as a reject of society. Which is freedom? It's just pretty clear. The one was a chain of bondage. The other was a chain of security. Now, as we pursue this thought, I'm going to touch just very briefly on the results of him chaining his life to Christ. Verse 40 sums it all up into one verse. There's an understood, and the next time Jesus came, in other words, when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. I have a question. Do we only have one character in this story that was chained in bondage? I don't think so. I think verse 40 tells us that there were a lot of good citizens that were going about their day from day to day that were chained in bondage. They were serving the wrong master. They were, from a society standpoint, outstanding citizens. But they were in bondage. Their hearts were in bondage. There was chains to sin. They might have lived good moral lives. Or they might have been the kind that was moral as far as society goes, but was happy to spend time in parties at the destruction of their temples, their bodies. Or it could have been that from a society standpoint, they were faultless. But in heart, they were chained to pride. Some of these things come pretty close home. As I look at my own life, it is possible to physically present something while in heart I experience something else. I said earlier that how we appear shows something about our master. And I believe it does. It is possible to be hypocritical for a while, to appear properly, and yet have a heart that's chained to the wrong master, a heart that's chained to a master of pride, a heart that's chained to a master of esteem, a heart that's chained to the master of peer pressure. Okay. Let's talk just a little bit about our lives, and I'm starting to touch on that already. I'd like to open this section up to you. I don't think I've mentioned all the chains that there are that one can be tied down with. What are chains of captivity that we might struggle with? I'd like to bring this personal to us today. We'll talk about chains of captivity we might struggle with, and then chains of security that we want to adopt. And then I've asked Lindell to lead us in a couple songs that are testimonies about freedom from bondage. Anybody have anything they want to share? Chains of captivity that we might struggle with today.